one more time. I want to pray before I speak. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Father, for loving us enough to wake us up again. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to allow us to get here safely, allowing us to worship you this morning, allow us to hear a message from you, Father. I'm asking that you continue in your love and give us something that will change us, Father, something that will challenge us, something that will convict us. Father, I'm just asking that you have your way with the hearts. You have your way with the ears that are here this morning, Father. I'm asking that you start to transform us, Father. You start to regenerate hearts. And that we just carry out your will this morning, glorifying you, worshiping you, and showing those who don't know you, Father, your love. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, church on the rock. See, I switched it up because I knew somebody was going to try to jump ahead of me. My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. We are grateful for all of our first-time guests. You could be anywhere, but God nudged you and led you our direction. I like to start off that way because it gets our juices flowing. Actually, I'm already flowing from the music, honestly, but this is just how we start things here. So we're going to do that one more time now that you know my name. It's Rashad, not Rashid, not Richard, and anything else. Rashad, okay? Good morning, Church on the Rock! Amen. So we are going to continue in our series, Building His Body, Breaking Our Barriers. We're finishing out the year here at Church on the Rock in Ephesians chapter 2. If you're new here, if you're a guest and you're just kind of, you know, wanting to see what we're about, this is our ministry. This is our vision. This is our goal, to build His body and break our barriers. And chapter 2 of Ephesians, it just does a great job of showing us that. So today's going to be a little different. I'm preaching through these two verses, and we're just going to be asking questions and then answering the questions. It's got a little bit of a Bible study feel to it. So if you're taking notes, this will be a real good week for you to be circling and highlighting and all those things that you do. And I'm going to have some fun with this one. So I guess first we're going to ask the first question. The first question is going to be, what is our barrier? I mean, we're talking about breaking barriers. We're going to say, what is our barrier? And this is where we're going to kind of recap what happened last week in case you weren't here or if you were here. We're just going to recap last week. So this is what we said last week. Last week we said in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, that the Bible says we are dead. We are devilish. We are dirty without Christ. Without Christ, we are dead in our ways, we are devilish in our walk, we are dirty in our works, and therefore we have a problem because God says the wage of sin is death, okay? Now, some people may be in here this morning and say, well, that's not me, Rashad. Like, I wasn't that. I came out and I was just, like, the heavens was singing when I came out and everybody was just happy for me because I was just all of that, right? Well, this is what Ecclesiastes 7 says about you and everybody else in this room. It says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. So right there, it tells you there is not one righteous person on earth who continually does good and is without sin. Not one righteous, not one good, not one without sin. Everybody in this room, does anybody want to raise their hand and talk about how perfect and awesome they are? Anybody? Somebody, you would, wouldn't you, right? No. But look at this. The Bible says right here, everyone, look at this. And it's amazing how this begins to break barriers, first and foremost, in this house. You see, the world will look at you and tell you that based on some things about your background, the family you was born to, where you live in the country, all these different things make you better or less or whatever. But this one right here, it breaks a big barrier. It says there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. That's all of us. So we got a problem. Why? Because Psalm 5:4 follows this up, and Psalm 5:4 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Look at this. No evil dwells with you, meaning those of us who are not righteous, who are not good, who don't do good, who don't have a heart of good, those of us who are dirty, who are dead, who are devilish, guess what? We cannot dwell with God. So in Ephesians 2:1, when it says, "And you were dead," it's talking about spiritually, you are separated from your Creator. In other words, we have a barrier. We have a barrier. So what is our barrier? Sin. Sin is our barrier. The fact that nothing about you is good. Nothing about you is righteous. I know that you help people across the street and you open the door for people and you do all these nice little good old things, right? It doesn't save you. Your righteousness is dirty. Your righteousness is filth. And this is the Bible. And some of you may be in here and you may be new to this and say, well, that's offensive. Well, guess what? We've all been offended. Amen. We've all been offended. So if it steps on your toes, I promise you it stepped on my toes, and any other believer in this room, it stepped on their toes too. None of us are worthy of being in the presence of our Creator. We have a barrier between us. It is called sin. And you did it on your own. All right? You ain't got nobody to blame but yourself. So we have a barrier that's between us, and sin, that's what it does. It builds barriers. So we have a problem. We have a lot of bad news because it tells us that unless we keep 613 commandments in the Old Testament and we keep them perfectly, because if you break one, you break them all, then you're not worthy of being in His presence. You're not able to be in heaven. You can't sit with your Creator. That's the Bible. That's where the gospel starts. That's a lot of bad news. And when you think about it, just think about it like in terms of pipes or even your body. If your body, which is built to flow, or pipes that are built to flow, have a blockage or a barrier, it causes things to go bad, right? We were built to flow, built to fellowship with God, but because of sin, we have a blockage, we have a barrier, and we're dead. We're dead in that. And that deadness is not a dead that's part dead, halfway dead. You are all the way dead. You cannot respond. You're incapable of responding. So then that brings us to our next question and kind of where we're going to start getting into our text. Who broke our barrier? Ephesians 2, verse 4, this is where we're going to start. Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, "But God." Now, if I was at my mama's church, I say, and the Bible says, "But God, in His mercy, in His righteousness." But see, I'm going to keep it real for y'all right here. Those two words, "but God," are two of the most important words in the entire Bible. It interrupts your bad news. Have you ever had bad news interrupted? You know what? I'll tell this story real quick. Some of you may have heard it already. But I dropped my daughter off I came to pick her up from youth a couple of Sundays ago. And I called myself going to run in and run out. So I left my car running, and I ran in to grab her. And I was like, "Genesis, come on." And she was like with the women, with the girls they were teaching. They were going through something. So I gave her about 10, 15 more minutes. And when I came back outside, my car was gone. That's bad news, right? Like, that was real bad news. And see, here's the thing. I wasn't even worried about the car. I was worried about my wife. Because I was like, I'm going to be dead when I tell her that I left the car running and the car is gone. So I came out, and I was in a whole bunch of trepidation, and Jason came out with me. Who else was there? Who else was there that night? Was anybody else in here there that night? Rachel, you was there. Vince, you was there. I came out, and I lost everything that made me a pastor in that moment. I was about to go to places I wasn't supposed to go because I was like, I'm dead. This is bad news. Somebody done stole my car. My car. Somebody stole my car, man. Because I left the keys running. Like, somebody stole my car. My daughter walked down the parking lot and she's like, "Daddy, it's right here. It's parked behind the sign." My boy Ryan Taylor, he's not here this morning, but he had pulled up right behind me and he moved the car, playing a joke. And I haven't found a way to get them back yet. It's coming. It is coming. But my bad news was interrupted with good news, that the car was still there, still running even. He left the car running. I was like, "Really, Ryan?" He left the car running, and it was hiding behind a sign. But my bad news was interrupted with good news, right? Okay, verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians is bad news. It's bad news. You are dead in your works. You're devilish in your walk. You're dirty in your works, excuse me, dead in your ways, and there's nothing you can do about it. So how do we remove the barrier between ourselves and our Creator? But God. Right there is where you shout. Right there is where you lift your hands, because it says that you can't do anything about it, but the one that you have a barrier with, the one that you are actually separated from, he removes the barrier. God. Look at this. Here's another reason you shout. It doesn't say, but your church attendance. Right? It doesn't say, but how many times you pray a day. Right? It doesn't say, but your love for your wife, because some of us would fail right there. But your love for your husband, some of us would fail right there. It doesn't say, but the clothes you wear, or but the bank account, or but anything. It says, but what? But God. That's it. But God breaks this barrier. But God changes things. But God gives you life. But God interrupts your bad news. So, last week we said that sin was falling short of God's standard, his measure, his glory, right? We had some people come up here, and they were supposed to throw a Kleenex at our youth pastor, Jason, who's in the other room, and they fell short. The Kleenex, as a matter of fact, it went to Judy. Judy became Jesus real quick. It fell short. Nobody was able to throw the Kleenex to get to Jason, and I was just giving an illustration of how we fall short in our righteous deeds and trying to do what we need to do to be saved. We all fall short. Okay, so believers who are like, I've heard the gospel, I know the gospel, Rashad, you're just teaching the same stuff. It's like, this is what I want you to do. Understand this. When you are saved, this is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. When you are saved, you don't get grace that allows you to purposely miss the mark. That's called cheap grace. You don't get saved and say, well, now that I'm saved, now that I got my ticket to heaven, I got my fire insurance, I can do whatever I want to do. That is not grace, and if you allow me to speak into your life, that's not salvation. Amen. So what we're about to hear about God, who is the mark, the standard, the measure, what we're about to hear about God and his attributes and his characteristics, believers, you should be striving for this. And when you fall short of striving for this, praise God for his grace. But not the other way around. You don't say, because of grace, I ain't got to be that. The Bible says, be holy because your Father is holy. So you should be striving to be like your Father in heaven. You should be striving to be like Jesus, who was literally the selfie of God. Y'all like that? God took a selfie. It comes out as Jesus. Yeah, I like that too. So here's the thing, though. We should be striving to be that selfie. That should be us. A lot of us accept Christ. We make some kind of profession, say some type of prayer. We're baptized. And then we say, okay, got my fire insurance card. I can go on living however I want to live. That's not how grace works. That's not how faith works. You see, I said last week, faith is not unemployed. Faith works. You don't work your way into heaven, but as a result of where you stand with God, there's something that has to happen inside of you. It changes you. It changes something on the inside. That's how faith works. As a result of your faith, you start doing the works. So you have to ask yourself, you have to question yourself. If you got this nature inside of you to continue to want to disobey God and say, but I got grace, well, then we need to have a conversation. Because that probably is not saving faith. And that's just real. So when we read this, believers, when you see this, but God, what you're about to see is things that I'm going to challenge you on. And for those of you who don't believe, when we say in the church, come as you are, yes, we mean you can wear what you want to wear, in good context, but we also mean when you say, I don't know nothing about the Bible, come as you are. When you say, I've just cheated on my spouse, come as you are. When you say, I'm still living in sin, come as you are. When you say, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be in there with you, come as you are. Why? Because none of those things save you but God. But God saves you, and God alone. He initiates. No matter how you look at it theologically, no matter where you stand theologically on these spectrums that they have of doctrine, God initiates salvation, period. So I don't care where you stand. Some of us scholars, we get into all this doctrinal pool stuff. I don't care where you stand on it. God initiates salvation. It says right here, but God. So let's find out something about God. It says, but God being rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. So stop right there, believers. Are you rich in mercy or are you broke in mercy? I heard some brokes already. I'm broke in mercy. Nowhere near as abundant as him. Now, what is mercy? I got this nice quote I got from Unger. Mercy is the outward manifestation of pity. It assumes need on the part of him who receives it and resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him who shows it. So mercy assumes that you need it and that I have what it takes to give it to you. That's what it assumes. And if you want to define mercy by the Bible, let's go to Psalm 103 real quick. Psalm 103:10 says this, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarding us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. He didn't give you what you deserve for your sins. He didn't give you what you deserve for your iniquities. That's mercy. God is rich in that. Now, this word rich in the Greek is this abundant, exceeding, everlasting type of riches. It's not our type of riches, right? Like our type of riches and mercy is just like y'all know when you pay it forward. When you pay it forward, right? Like I've been in a drive-thru before and said, you know, I'm feeling kind of rich today, feeling kind of good, got a little extra money. I'm gonna pay it forward. When I pull up to the drive-thru, I'm going to pay for the person's meal behind me. They ordered the meal, so they deserve to pay it themselves, right? But in my mercy, per se, I'm going to go ahead and pay it forward. Now, this is what our rich in mercy looks like. You pull up, you're like, man, I'm feeling good. I'm going to go ahead and pay it forward. I'm going to go ahead and pay it forward. Hey, the person behind me, how much was their meal? $50? I ain't got that kind of money. I was going to pay it forward, but my resources ain't that long. Like, even if I went home and told, hey, baby, I spent $50 on what? McDonald's? Well, the person behind me, I ain't trying to hear all that. We ain't got the resources for you to give that kind of mercy, right? So our mercy runs out. Our mercy can be cheap. We go to an extent until it's uncomfortable, and then we're like, what's the next car buying? Are they getting a coffee? I can do the coffee. I can do the coffee, right? I can't do the $50 you're buying for your company, but the person behind them doing the coffee, I can do the coffee. I'll take care of that one. Praise God that he's not like that, right? Praise God that God not only will pay for the meal regardless of the price, but he's paying for the meal of somebody who robbed him and killed his son. Think about that. That's God's mercy. And he's rich in it. It doesn't run out. When you deserve death, when you deserve the cross, when you deserve to be nailed to this right here for your sins, he resisted. He didn't pour that out on you. Don't you know you woke up this morning, right? Everybody in here is alive, correct? Okay, everybody in here is alive. Just want to make sure, right? All right, that's mercy. Because you didn't deserve to wake up this morning. And if you think, when you went to sleep last night, if you thought that you were going to wake yourself up, that's God. That's God. That's mercy. And he's rich in it. So who broke our barrier? God, rich in mercy, broke our barrier. And then we ask the next question. Well, why did God, who we had the problem with, why did God break our barrier? Why did he break our barrier? Let's go back to Ephesians 2:4. It's all in this verse. So God being what? Rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. The song we just sang, how he loves us. Oh, I'm going to remix it and just rap it. How he loves us. Oh, no. Look. Because of his great love. Now, look at this love. And remember, believers, I want you to challenge yourselves. We just looked at mercy, which many of us fail there. We're broken mercy. But look at this great love. Look at this great love. He broke the barrier. He removed the barrier between you and him because he loves you. The world, our government gives benefits based on your status, right? Our God gives benefits based on his status. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. That's his status. He is love. Has nothing to do with you. In a world that is divided, think about this real quick. In a country that is divided, I saw this video that a man held a $100 bill, right? He held a $100 bill, Ty, like this, and there was a whole bunch, it was just a diverse amount of, probably college students standing at a start line. He said, hey, I want you guys to run to this $100 bill. He said, but let me ask you a couple questions first. And the questions were like, did you have two-parent home? Did you grow up in a suburb? Income this? All these things that the world uses to divide us. And then he stepped back, and for the predominantly white people were like as close to the $100 possible. He said, that's white privilege, right? The world will say white privilege. The world will say black poverty. The world will say if you're a single parent mom, then you have a lower status or a lower chance of this. And if you are, if you have this many kids, or if you make this much money, or if you're in that tax, that's what the world does. And then we get divided by it, right? We start looking at each other. We start judging each other. We start saying, I can't fellowship with you because you don't make enough money to be in my circle, or you don't look like me, or you got white privilege, you got black privilege, you got this, you got that, and you got all this division in the world, and God says, I love you regardless of your privilege, regardless of your position, regardless of your paycheck. That's when I love you. Regardless of your poverty, in God, right? When he loves you, why he loves you, it has nothing to do with your status. It has everything to do with his status. So in that alone, I wake up and I ain't hearing all the stuff that the world is talking about that wants me to divide myself from you. And instead, I think about what he's talking about. And it breaks barriers. Amen. I can come in here and look at every single one of you and say, not one of you have been dealt a better hand than me. Not one of you have been dealt a better hand than me. I don't care where I grew up. I don't care what my parents were, if they were together or they were not. None of that matters. I don't care if I was adopted. I don't care about nothing. Why? Because he still loves me as much as he loves you. Amen. So it breaks barriers. He removed the barrier between us and him because he loves us. Okay, how do you love, Christian? What does it take to get your love, Christian? Huh? Do I got to look like you today? Do I got to do it within the next 30 days of coming into the church and joining? Do I got to start doing things right within the next 3 months for you to love me, Christian? When do you love me? Why do you love me? And I look at this and it's amazing how that works and how children got it. This morning, I just met, what's the young girl's name again? Skylar. They're fostering a young child. Her name is Skylar. They just got her for the weekend, I believe, right? I walked in here. I've never met Skylar, and the worship team can tell you about this. I kind of waved at her, and I started walking off the stage, and she just kept coming towards me. I was like, what is she doing? And I was just going to get a water, and she just kept coming. So I turned, and I was like, this girl don't know me, but I'm just going to open my arms and see if she comes. And she ran up and gave me the biggest hug. And I was like, that's what love should look like. I don't know you, but you opened your arms, so I'm running. You don't know God, but he's opened his arms, so run. Guess what? When y'all come in here and I tell you, hey, sis, I love you. Hey, bro, I love you. Hey, man, I've never met you. You sitting next to my man Adam, sorry, and I love you. And you're like, but you don't know me, but that's okay. I don't need to know you. I don't have conditions. Why? Because God didn't have conditions, so I love you now. I love you right now, bro, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You call me, as long as it's not on Friday because I'm going to see the Justice League. But any other time, I got you, bro. I got you for real. But that's what love should look like, minus the Justice League part. That's what love should look like. Like, it doesn't, I don't need you to do anything for me. I don't need you to look a certain way or walk a certain way or talk a certain way. Why? Because he didn't need me to be that before he started loving me. He removed the barrier between me and him because he loved me. So I'm going to remove all barriers between me and anybody else because I love you. Why? Because he loved me first. Amen. You see, we have a ceiling barrier, which is between us and God, but then we got walls. We got walls. Matter of fact, when we do, I mean, we've had an amazing attendance in our 5-9 families. It's been great. Those are our small groups here for those of you who are guests. And I love it because I went to the one on, I had to stop in at, I'm trying to stop in at all of them, but I stopped in one on Wednesday at the Stevens. And you had Jason Servizzi, you had Elizabeth, his wife, you had Roger and Georgia, and you had Dave. Now, if you just know personalities, these are all over the place here. You got Jason over here. Jason, we love him, but he's our wild child per se. You got Dave over here, who is a doctrinal disciple type. And you got Roger, who's just a leader and loves getting into that word and will ask you some questions that'll make you say, where did that one come from, right? Like, just some questions to really make you pull that text apart. And then you got Georgia, and you got Elizabeth, you got the kids there. And we ended with prayers and joy and love. We didn't say, oh, I'm too old to be a part of this. I'm too young. I know too much Bible. I don't know enough Bible. None of that stuff mattered. All those barriers were removed because we just wanted to be together. We just wanted to be together. When do we start loving like that? You know, that's when this church will grow even more. I mean, we're growing amazingly, and I think it's because of the love, but even more when we can let those walls down and just love. Why? Not based on what any of us do, but based on what he's already done. He loved you. He loved you. He literally, his effort broke our barrier with him, but his examples will break our barriers with each other. So why did he break our barrier? Because he loved us with a great love. And then finally, when did he break our barrier? That's the last point here, and it's just going to give us the first part of verse 5. We'll finish the rest next week. But the beginning of verse 5, go to Ephesians 2:5 for me. It says, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Now, remember, last week we said a transgression was, I hold a sign up, and I say, do not touch the stage. Children, do not touch the stage after church. Just stay after and watch what happens, right? And it's a transgression because I've made a law, I've made a command, and then they willingly break it. So even when we were willingly breaking God's commands on our own, no excuses, this is when he loved us. Think about that in terms of your relationships. You see, we won't love people until the barriers are removed, not realizing it's love that removes the barriers. We won't love people until barriers are broken down, not realizing it is love that breaks the barriers. That was his example. That's what he did. He removed it because he loved us. So I have to ask you, what is your love waiting on? Come as you are, love as they are. What is your love waiting on? What is it waiting on? Is it waiting on your spouse to get perfect? Is it waiting on the kids to get right? Is it waiting? I mean, what is it waiting on? Yeah, real quiet. Real quiet, right? Yeah. What is your love waiting on in your household, in this church, in your community, in your workplace? What is your love waiting on? Well, I'm waiting on them to apologize for what they did for what? That's not what you did. That's not what God did. Remember, none were righteous. None were looking for him. Nobody was seeking after God when he loved you. Let's go to Romans, is it Romans 5, Corey? Go to Romans 5 real quick. Look at this. This is when God loved you. For while we were still, what? Helpless. Meaning you didn't have the capability to love him back. Okay, at the right time, Christ died for the what? The ungodly. That was all of us. Keep going. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man. Some would even dare to die, but keep going. It says right here, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were enemies, while you were against him, look at this. We said earlier, he cannot dwell with sin, right? He can't dwell. He can't be in his presence. So while you were disgusting to him, he loved you. While he hated what you were covered in, sin, he loved you. He loved you while he hated you type of thing, right? Like, whoa. So what are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Because God loved you when you was jacked up, busted, and disgusted. I think about me and my wife all the time. I'm the ugly one, by the way, not her. So people will see me with my wife. I got this beautiful woman as my wife, and they'll be like, how did he get her? I mean, keep it 100, Phil. Keep it 100. We'll be walking around Walmart, and they're like, how did he get her? I'm trying to put this together because he don't look like he'd be able to get her, but she loved me despite me, right? Okay, a lot of us look like that when we walk in with Jesus, when we walk in with God. See, you're the bride of Christ, but you was not a beautiful bride when he loved you. I'm just saying, you was hit. We're going to keep it 100, Phil, right? You was hit. He was beauty. You was the beast. Spiritually, that's what it is. You were disgusting. He could not be in your presence. For you to be with him, ugh, get away from me type of thing. Like, that's what you are without Christ. That's what you are in your righteousness. That's what you are when you're trying to earn your way to heaven. So this is when he loved you. Not only is it an unconditional love, but he loved you when you was unattractive. What are you waiting on? Seriously, what are you waiting on? We sing to the church, to the world, come as you are. But we don't love like that. We don't love like that. And then people come in here talking about what they said, come as you are. It must only deal with clothes because I didn't feel welcomed. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, what if we just loved the way God loved us? Not based on anything that anybody has done in advance, except for God, the fact that he loved us when we were ugly, when we were busted, when we were disgusted, when we were sinners, when we were enemies, when we were stepping on his toes and disobeying his laws, falling short of his glory, not glorifying him as our creator. When we were all those things, that's when he loved us. So why can we not do the same? We can't even do it in our households. We can't even do it with our family members, let alone church family or the community. What grudges are you holding on to in your family, in your house, in this church? Because somebody has trespassed. Now, can you listen to God's word and say that because he's holy and I'm supposed to be holy, then I'm going to have the same type of mercy and the same type of love and pour it out abundantly to everybody in my circle? Y'all not willing to do that yet? So y'all like the Savior part of the Lord, but not the Lord part of the Lord. That's where we're at. So I challenge you today, as I get ready to close out here, I challenge you today, believers, can you seriously strive for the mark? Strive to be like your Father in heaven. Strive to be holy just by making these changes first. Mercy. Love. Just start there. Can you grant mercy to one another? Can you love one another? Then can you grant mercy to the world? Can you love the world, hoping that as a result of your love and your light, they come to Christ? Because they want to know how you can love me when I've done you wrong. How you can give me mercy when I've done you wrong. How can you do that? How can you and your spouse stick it out when y'all did each other wrong? How can you still have a relationship with your child after they done you wrong? Or how can you have a relationship with your parents after they done you wrong? Or all these different relationships are all these opportunities that we have to show the love and mercy of God. So let's make the most of these opportunities and show the world why we're different. And then for those of you who still don't even know what that looks like, who still don't have an understanding of the mercy and the love of God, in removing the barrier that separates you right this moment, right now, I'll speak on behalf of the church and say, here, you can come as you are. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You won't stay as you are. But come as you are. Come talk to me now. Don't try to get yourself together, because the Bible just said you can't do it. But God can. And I'm willing to put everything on that right there, that God can and will save you if you just come as you are. I want you to let that just dwell on you this entire week. Let that change you. Let it challenge you this week. And actually be a doer of the word. A lot of us are amening and listening and nodding our heads, but what does that change in your relationships this week? This week, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, what does that change in your relationships immediately? His love, his mercy, abundantly, not waiting on somebody to do right by you, but you doing right by God. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.